In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I had a fantastic conversation with Ashley Morris. Ashley is the co-founder and CEO of The Circular Experiment and also joined me on the Future Leaders Future Cities delegation to Japan. Ashley and I discuss our observations from Japan, as well as how smart cities and the circular economy fit together. Ashley also explains what the circular economy is and also what the circular experiment worked on. We also discuss emerging trends of connecting knowledge and genuine collaboration. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
So my background is in environmental management, really looking at the systems that the world operates in. So I have focused primarily on waste and then worked and spent some time in Indonesia looking at palm oil and deforestation in particular, and really came back full circle to look at our economy and what were those driving forces damaging our world systems. And I've seen the opportunity to transform those through the circular economy. So right now I'm CEO of The Circular Experiment, which is one of Australia's leading circular economy companies, providing support for industry and government on transitioning from a linear economy or a business model to a circular one.
Wow. I'm really excited to hear more about this. Ever since I met you in Japan. Oh, that was the other thing we should mention. We were both in Japan together at the beginning of July. So before we jump into what the circular economy is all about, tell me what sparked your interest in this smart city kind of space. How does that fit in with the circular economy?
I think, well, the rise of technology and then applying that into our cities for the better, to drive economics, environmental change and societal change is really strong. And there's incredible advancements, and they strongly tie into then a circular economy. Technology is going to be the enabling factor that provides us with that big data on what is happening, what are the inputs and outputs in our cities or in our lives, and how can we then be more efficient and smart about how we use them and interpret that to create change and positive change. So I really learned about smart cities as a concept or an application when I was doing our first proof of concept circular economy project on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. And one of the six principles that we implemented was smart technologies, how we could better one particular street that had 45 businesses on it. And so I really looked into, what those applications could be, and looking at sensors in putting those in bins, and then looking at the data and looking at how we could then connect renewable energy sources through peer-to-peer trading and things like that as examples of what we were looking at.
Yeah, awesome. So tell us, what is a smart city to you?
A smart city to me is a connected city. So utilizing technology for us to communicate and interpret data and make more intelligent decisions on how we operate and how we recoup any lost value within the system.
Yeah, cool. So why do you think this concept is so important?
Well, I think for the first time we're going to have such intelligence on our systems that we've never had before, and that's the incredible value that technology can provide, and efficiencies. And I know there's fear around what it might mean for jobs and how we live and operate, but it's actually, I think if we look through the lens of opportunity and value creation, it's unprecedented. So I think it's going to change our communities, our societies from that micro to macro level significantly and for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about Australia. And how do you think Australia is embracing this smart city concept?
I think the rise of smart cities has been really, really quick in Australia. The conversation, the narrative, the the engagement within the Smart Cities Council of Australia and New Zealand, who seem to be growing strength by strength every week. I think it's really tangible, which is why I believe it's growing so fast. You know, when you compare like a circular economy, you know, mindset or systems thinking as opposed to smart city, there's some really tangible elements in smart cities that the everyday person can grasp onto equally as a prime minister, for instance, to say, look, if we put these things in here, this is the data set, and it becomes very visual. And I think most people grasp something quite easily when they can see it and they can, you know, quickly transform change. So I think that's really, yeah, why smart cities is growing so fast in Australia. And I think, you know, our experience in Japan really demonstrated that Australia is not far behind the rest of the world. We're right up there. We aren't the laggard that people often refer to us as, and that's really inspiring as well. And the people that are coming through in this sector are very strong, very talented, and I think Australia has a place to play in the global conversation around smart cities.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I was thinking about this, I mean, we were just discussing it, but I really think that I've had some conversations where it's Australia's behind, but it might be in that particular sector that that person's working in. But then other conversations that it's like, oh, no, Australia's really ahead. Or maybe Australia's really ahead in things we aren't talking about. I think even just a really simple example of like paying, like, you know, Paywave and just making payments on your phone or your watch or your, even just like with your card or whatever. We take that for granted. It's not something we talk about, but you really realize that when you have to pay with cash somewhere where you want to, you know, expect to be able to just pay as you go with your card, it really comes to front of mind. Oh, okay, we're really advanced in that space. And because it's just everyday life, we don't think it's smart, but it really is. Like, yeah, it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And those types of technology are so quickly integrated that we don't realize that it was such a monumental shift from a cash society to one that's now virtually, you know, cashless. And it just becomes a part of our everyday functionality. And and you're right, we don't place much emphasis on that. But you do realize when you experience a different culture or a different practice that, yeah, Australians are quite progressive. We're a small country and we rightfully innovate because we can. And we are a wealthy nation as well.
Definitely. Okay, well, let's talk about the circular economy and tell us about your company, the Circular Experiment, as well as can you start by just explaining to everyone what the circular economy is and what it means, I guess?
Yeah. So the circular economy, it's definitely not new. It's been around for millennia. So, and you can really refer it right back to Indigenous cultures all around the world where you're looking at the entire operating system of what we live in, so planetary systems. But then taking that and refining that model, it came out in 2010 through the Ellen MacArthur Foundation as an economic performance-based model that relies on systems-wide innovation to decouple our economic growth from the consumption of finite resources. And those are those really planetary systems that we know are going to run out in our lifetime, and we need to start to be smarter about what we use and how we generate value within those systems. So it's a very big concept, but when you break it down, there's examples of circular economy out there every day. And a lot of them, and the most tangible, often sit in, like in the story around waste. How can we take a product that's been made, extracted out of the ground, then been made, and then keep it back in the system? So not recycling it, but actually breaking it down to its core components and seeing it generate value back into use, everyday use, and staying in use for a long time. So people would strongly talk around circular economy more so in the 50s. Things were made to last because they were really high quality and companies, you know, were built on integrity. But now we build in obsolescence because that's really become a strong economic model, which is the linear model. So we take, we make, we use and dispose. So we have to constantly go out and buy new. But a circular economy is about keeping things at their highest value for the longest amount of time you can possibly. And so then to talk about our company and what we do. So circular economy, because it is so broad, my sister and myself, my co-founder, realized that there was a lot of talk and there wasn't a lot of action in a circular economy. And to take such a big concept, we really wanted to make it tangible for people, for business, in particular small to medium enterprise, because they're the backbone of the Australian economy and economies all over the world. So, and there's actually probably no better test run than trying to sell it to a fish and chip shop owner or a chiropractor, for instance. And this is what we did. So we selected a CBD street on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland that had 56 businesses in total. We literally went door to door talking to them about what we wanted to do as a project. So that was implementing six different principles of a circular economy, from reverse logistics through to smart technologies, to resource efficiency, to servitization, and on, and sharing economy and things like that. And we had to find very quickly that what did circular economy mean to each business? And it was different for each. Some really wanted to improve how much energy consumption they were having in their businesses, and others wanted to improve their waste. Others wanted to share the assets they had lying around. And so we worked with these businesses for 6 months, and we were able to prove that there is actual economic revenue generated out of applying circular economy. There's large economic savings to be made. There's huge social capital gains in terms of people communicating and identifying strategic directions in which they want to head, and also environmental savings, and really when you talk about systems thinking, all of those things are integrated. And they happen, if you just want to focus on economics, you're often going to be saving or reducing your consumption of one thing or another, which actually helps the environment and also helps build unity in teams, because you need to be on one strategic pathway with the team to be able to do that. So for us, we were the first circular economy project of this scale in Australia, and also quite unique in the international market as well. So our company then finished that in December last, 2017. And from that point, it gained a lot of traction, and people just wanted to understand what we did and how we did it and how we had such incredible outcomes. And so we have been sharing our knowledge far and wide over the last couple of months, and have transformed our company now into one of Australia's leading circular economy consultancies, now with actual further plans to build a very large, scalable, collaborative model that will go into the ASEAN market in February next year.
Yeah, wow. I'm really excited to see how that all comes together and works out. Awesome. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about Japan, since we were both there. And I'm really keen to hear your thoughts on what you took away from that trip, basically.
So the trip to Japan for the Future Leaders, Future Cities, was really, really interesting. We had unparalleled access that we would never have without being invited by the federal minister to attend. And we got to see the sort of leading technologies that Japan was forging. And for me, in terms of their application, they were really focused on market, sort of specific markets. And for some of the technologies we were exposed to were looking at the management of the movement of people, and also being able to be very intelligent around what are people looking for? What do we engage with, and for how long? And then how can we design our stores or our offerings to, you know, capitalize on those elements? But then in reflection, in hindsight, I really felt that the technologies weren't necessarily as broad as they could be to be addressing some of our huge challenges that we face, whether that is like climate change or mobility. So I feel like whilst there were strides being made in certain sectors and niche markets within Japan, there was much scope to broaden the applications of what was being developed. And I think this is where Australia can really share and form great partnerships with Japan, as there's a lot of leading technologies and companies within Australia that can share knowledge and also enter into the Japanese market to show and demonstrate what can be achieved through smart cities application.
Yeah, definitely. I realize I say yeah definitely quite a lot listening back to my own podcast, but no, I totally agree. I think that collaboration piece is huge, and I think that community co-creation piece is huge, and there's so much potential. And I think that particularly in the widespread application of technology for more than just commercial purposes, is really a key area that we can look at as well. So yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about, coming back to in general, how do you think in this smart city space we can better integrate across the different disciplines, government and industry? I imagine that when you did your circular experiment that you would have had to coordinate and communicate across different disciplines and different, you know, sectors. So how do you think we can do that better?
It's such as we get asked this all the time. So you mentioned collaboration a moment ago, and it's a really popular term at the moment in terms of people recognizing it as a critical need, whether it's specifically in smart cities or circular economy or in any context of trying to create change against a very fast moving global system. Collaboration is essential, but it's very difficult to achieve. We are not used to sort of having this open sourced innovation. And it really comes back to a very simple means of having a conversation with a diverse group of stakeholders, whether that is, you know, six different department sectors in the government, a state government, local government, or whether it's often, you know, two leading industry, once thought competitors, now could be collaborators. There's power in the collective. So if you're able to get a diverse group of stakeholders around the table and have a conversation in a way that's non-threatening, so that's really opening the door. It might be just be a cup of tea, or it might be over a glass of wine. Just taking down some of the formality and the bigger barriers that, and I guess structures that we put around conversations, to enable people just to talk about strategically the challenges they face, but also the opportunities to address those challenges. And I believe that smart cities applications in particular, because the broadness in which they can be applied in our communities, in our cities, is, you know, immense. So I think those conversations and those collaborations are critical. And smart cities can almost be a conduit to bring those people around the table to say, you all have a vested interest here, and this is the means by which it can be achieved. And it's almost that perfect conduit for that.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think we can even learn from Japan in this case with that relationship building. That I'll probably take this back to my Korean experience, because I did business there. But that genuine relationship building, as in, you know, you don't just pick the best deal, you pick the deal that you have the best relationship with the person that you can trust. Because I feel like this collaboration piece is like, oh yeah, let's all collaborate. But if you don't trust each other, you can't actually take feedback on, is what, you know, so there's never going to be that non-threatening safe environment until you have that. And I think you have to extend trust first before you expect it. And yeah, I mean, it's not a silver bullet, obviously, but I totally agree. I think having those non-threatening conversations, everyone's feeling safe, taking down those barriers.
Yeah, if we can remember we're human beings around a table, all addressing very similar challenges in the path forward, it changes the dynamic from showing up with expectation and a mandate of I'm here and I'm showing up as. We're all showing up together to have a conversation about shared challenges and shared opportunities. And that can really shift the lens in, you know, how the outcomes can, you know, be positive rather than a negative. And you're right, Japan served many lessons there. You know, a lot of those leading companies, through, I believe, a lack of open conversation or open innovation, are creating very similar applications of technology when they could maybe be creating more of a niche in their respective companies. And I think, believe that's resulted, yeah, from not communicating broadly enough. And it was very strong in the sentiment in Japan that collaboration is essential as well. And I've seen it now, having traveled to Europe this year several times, that collaboration is the term that is used absolutely everywhere as the essential means to drive change forward. But again, it's something that needs to be worked on to enable it to thrive.
Mm. And I think, yeah, just saying collaboration, I mean, even when I say collaboration, I think, okay, what does that actually mean? And what am I actually doing about it?
Yes.
Like, we can collaborate all over the place, but that's not going to do anything unless we actually do something with that collaboration. Once you've got everyone in the room, if you just do it the way you've always done it, then it's not actually collaboration. You can just tick the collaboration box, but that genuine collaboration comes from actually changing the way we're doing it to be, which sounds ridiculous, different to the way it was. Yeah.
No, it's so beautifully said. We can't afford to do what we've always done. That is, you know, that is the foundation that we need to move forward with, is we need to think of doing things differently. And that's exciting because it opens such a realm of opportunity for everybody. And it doesn't matter if you're the big corporate or you're the government or a small startup, starting with looking out there going, look, we can't do what we've always done, so now how do we make things more positive and do it differently? And that's an incredible space for anyone to be entering into.
Yeah, definitely. See, there I go. I said it again. Okay, let's talk about emerging trends. What do you think people aren't talking about enough?
I think systems connectivity would definitely be one. Actually, it's an interesting thing, and I definitely want to raise it on the podcast, is smart cities versus circular economy. Unfortunately, they're getting put into two separate boxes, I think, or two separate narratives and conversations, and they're really a part of one. And I think the way we need to look at all of these emerging trends, and smart cities is absolutely one of those. Circular economy, again, is another one. You could look at waste just in its own powerful hot topic, another area of, you know, contention and also progression. I think they all sort of come under one banner, and we need to, you know, interlink the thinking around those, you know, challenges and opportunities again, and get the people around the table to talk about it. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, I sit on one of the committees for the Smart Cities Council of Australia and New Zealand, but I also run a circular economy company. I also sit on another committee looking at the future business generation for Australia, and I have, through that, you know, this broadened lens of what conversations are happening in which spaces, and I can extract value from each of those, but and then see a greater value because of that and connectivity in the emerging trends. And they'll probably be different for everyone's specific network and what they're having visibility on, is to look at how you could connect those to have, you know, greater impact, because there's some fantastic progression being made. But if we stay in our lanes, I think we'll be limited as opposed to what we could achieve if we start to overlap and come together as one powerful entity to drive change forward. And smart cities, circular economy, you can say the new economy, there's so many. All coming together actually would be really powerful.
No, I agree totally. And I think it's really forward thinking of Austrade really to bring us all together. Because even though we met with a lot of tech companies, we ourselves weren't necessarily tech.
No.
Like, you know, all tech focused. That's what I found very interesting. So like putting the delegation together, I mean, and then accidentally that we were, you know, more than 50% female, was really telling of the times are changing. And I really enjoyed being part of that. Yeah, I'm really excited to be part of this smart city, circular economy, whatever we're calling it, space, because I think I know people get caught up in these buzzwords and like, oh, you know, I'm this part of, you know, I'm IoT or I'm focused on cybersecurity or whatever. But I think you're right that connection piece is so important. And that's what I'm trying to do with the podcast, bring all these different perspectives in, and they're not right, wrong, or, you know, they're just different, and we actually need all those brains together so then we can actually move forward, because no one sector or no one person or no one group even has all the answers.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think once we like accept that and acknowledge that, then we can actually have that real, genuine collaboration.
Absolutely, and we'll be making strides. Absolute strides. And I think if there's any reason why I think ever Australia is called a laggard, it's because we've been so strong in our growth, but it's been an independent sort of runways where this sector just, in particular, you could say the mining and resources sector just drove our economy forward and kind of didn't look back. But now as the world changes and we're dealing with, you know, weren't running out of resources, very much companies and big the mining sector is looking outside of themselves to find the answers and what those new opportunities or new business models might look like for our economy. And that's the exciting part. It's realizing that having diversity creates higher value, higher thought processes and better outcomes, no matter what, whether it's having 50-50, you know, women and men travel on a delegation to Japan, or whether it's, you know, bringing in the smart cities voice, the future of work, the circular economy. They're just the titles, but the value that we all want to create is the same. Sometimes it's just about stripping it back and stepping into the room without your label and realizing that you all really want to achieve the same thing. And then once you're on that page, then you're off and running.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. Okay, I only have one last question. How can people connect with you? It's an easy one.
Okay. LinkedIn is my favorite platform for connecting with change makers and anyone who feels like they can share value more broadly. And so you can find me on LinkedIn under Ashley Morris, and I'd be more than happy to connect and share what I know and hopefully learn a lot from you as well.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for chatting with me this afternoon, Ashley. I have learnt heaps and I am really excited for our future conversations because I think we have a lot more to talk about.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate this opportunity.
No worries. Talk soon. Bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.